I don't know. Sometimes it just feels like the Holy Spirit is just so moving. You know what, though? The Holy Spirit is moving all the time. Sometimes we're tuned into it, and other times we're not. When you feel it and it grabs a hold of you, rejoice in that. But be reminded that the Holy Spirit is always at work in us at all times. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your Holy Spirit is present among us. We thank you that your Holy Spirit continues to heal. It continues to change our ashes into beauty, that your Holy Spirit can straighten us up no matter what our brokenness might be. Father, we bring to you our broken places because you are the great mender. You are the menders of our bodies. You are the menders of our souls, the menders of our spirits. Father, we've come here today to hear your word, to receive your sacraments, and to fellowship with one another. In your name we pray. Amen. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Today's gospel reading talks about a miracle. Anybody here believe in miracles? Things that happen that we can't explain? You know that we can't explain many things. How many of you can explain to me the way electricity works perfectly, or the way the world sits on its axis at just the exact right degree, and how all of that happened? Maybe some of you are physicists and you can do it. I can't, but I believe it works because when I turn on a switch, the light comes on. The earth is spinning at this incredible speed, I don't fall off of it because there's gravity. That it keeps me safe from the killing rays of the sun because we're just at the precise amount distance away from the sun. Now, that couldn't have happened by an accident, amen? I mean, if you're walking through the wilderness and you see this campsite set up with a fireplace built, a shelter built, you don't just say, wow, I guess there was a big bang in this mountain here and all these things just happened to be here. No, there was some intelligence that created that, and that intelligence is God our Father. And he created everything visible and invisible with the single word. The technical term is ex nihilo, out of nothing. God created that which was not himself, and we have what we have today. And if you can believe that, you can believe just about anything the Bible puts forth. Because to think that God said a word and it became the universe, it's just mind-boggling. But he did. Miracles happen all the time. And this is a wonderful miracle that got a lot of lessons for us to learn. What is the main point? Well, in Jesus' day, they didn't have computers. They didn't have emojis. They didn't have boldface. They didn't have cap. If they really wanted to emphasize something, the way that they did it was by repeating it over and over and over again. So in our scripture reading of just those few verses, there's one word that is repeated five times. That word is the Sabbath. That must mean that the writer of this gospel, Luke, is trying to draw our attention to the Sabbath. So what is it about the Sabbath that Luke would want us to know? What's going on here? It says to us something about who Jesus is. We all know the third commandment, right, Brooklyn? Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy? She was moving her mouth, but nothing was coming out, but I could read her lips, and it was that. Some people call it the fourth commandment, depending on how you number them. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It's a good thing. God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. On the seventh day, he rested. People of God, it's okay to rest. He encourages it. Take some time for yourself. Rest. Worship God. Restore your spirit and your life with him and with one another. Connect in a way that takes us away from our work. It's part of the rhythm of life. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Jesus' purpose in coming, it was set forth in Luke chapter 4. He preached his first sermon, at least as it's recorded in the Gospel of Luke. His first sermon set forth his mission statement. And in his mission statement, he quoted Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 2. And this is what he said. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, and to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." When Jesus had read from that scroll of Isaiah, he handed it back to the synagogue leader and said, "Today, in your hearing, this scripture is fulfilled." So what's Jesus saying? Jesus is saying that something spectacular is happening here. He's saying that something supernatural is happening in here, that there's a work and a power of the Holy Spirit going on among them, and they don't want to recognize it because they're so focused on the law. They're focused on the law, they're grumpy about it, and they miss the miracle that Jesus is doing, because instead of seeing it as the inbreaking of this prophecy of Isaiah right in the middle of their midst, they miss it. They see it as a violation of one of their commandments. Jesus credits the Spirit as the work of Satan. In Luke chapter 11, verses 19 through 23, Jesus is casting out demons, and the Pharisees accuse Jesus of being the chief of the demons, and that's why he can cast out demons. And Jesus says this to them, "Now, if I drive out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your followers drive them out? So then they will be your judges. But if I do drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God is upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own house, his possessions are safe. But when someone stronger attacks and overpowers him, he takes away the armor in which the man trusted and divides up his plunder. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters." So who's the strong man that we're talking about? It's the devil. The devil. Who are the possessions? It's you and I. Who are the people from the earth, from the east, the west, the north, and the south? Isaiah prophesies that all of these people are going to be brought into God's kingdom. And so what Jesus is saying is that ever since Adam and Eve rebelled against God and sin entered the world, we have this thing called original sin. We have a propensity to sin. A concupiscence is the theological term for our bend toward sin. But Jesus came to overcome that, to take our sin upon himself, to offer him forgiveness. Jesus is the someone stronger who has attacked Satan, who has overpowered him and takes away the armor that the devil was using. The devil was using disbelief. He was using doubt. He was using physical ailments. He was using death and blindness and leprosy, all these things to separate us from God. And what we see in this gospel reading for today is this woman that's been bent over for 18 years. Can you imagine? Do you know what bent over is? Bent over is like this. Walking around like this. What kind of a view of the world do you have? You recognize people by their feet. You know where you're going based on the ditches, not by the street numbers. You're bent over for 18 years. I don't know if her spine was fused or what the ailment really was, but she was bent over for 18 years. And Jesus is in the synagogue. It's on a Sabbath, and he's teaching, and he sees her. He sees her. He really sees her. He sees her for who she is, not as an object, not as something to be scorned, not as someone to be made fun of. Yeah. There's a ministry that Dave and Angela McKinney introduced us to it. Our Redeemer called I See You San Diego. It's a homeless ministry. How many times do we drive past these people that are there all the time, but we don't really see them? They're just there. They're objects. We see them. We had a funeral service or a memorial service for one of my mentors in the ministry, Pastor John Rumsey, beautiful man. I wish you guys could have all known him. He was so humble and such a servant of God. His whole life was set forth with that. And we had this memorial service. He died in Oklahoma, and he was here in San Diego most of his ministry, though. So they had a service at Grace Lutheran Church this last Saturday. And I got to recall some things about him. He taught me to see people. I remember one time we were going to a Padre game. And I wanted to stop and get some cash. Back when I used to carry cash. And I pulled it to the ATM. And he goes, Weber, what are you doing? What are you doing? You going to talk to that ATM machine about Jesus? Park the car. Go inside and talk to a live person in there. Put a smile on their face. Tell them about Jesus. He taught me to see people. He taught me that every action that I do in my life has the potential for these divine possibilities. To don't pass them up. Look for them. Don't just take the easy way out. Now, do I still go to the ATM now and then? Yeah. I still do once in a while. But I think about the words of John. Seeing people. Now, Jesus saw her ailment. Now, what is it in our lives that Jesus can see and cure? We might not be walking over with a bent over back, but we've got some form of brokenness. We've got something in us. And Jesus can see that, and he wants to heal it. Could it be an addiction? Could it be a workaholic? Could it be propensity to be sick, to be depressed, to have anxiety, to be angry all the time, to be lazy, to whatever it is? Bring it to God. Let him heal you. It doesn't matter if it's this Sabbath day or not. That's what he came for. You see, this religious leader was so focused on his law that he missed the inbreaking of God's kingdom coming right in his presence. God still breaks into our lives today, people of God. He is here today. And Jesus announced to this woman that she was not only just an object, but she was a daughter of Abraham. Not only restored her physically, but restored her socially and emotionally and religiously as well. So how many people do we really see each day? Or do we tree people? Let me tell you what I mean by treeing people. Ever been talking to somebody in a group? And you're chatting away, you guys are having a conversation, and then you look at them and they're like looking over your shoulder, looking to see who else is there. They're not really giving you attention at all. You may as well not even be standing there talking to them. They've treed you. How many people do we tree? Do we just come past? You know, since we had this funeral for Pastor Rumsey and since I've been preparing for this message for a week, I started paying attention to who I really see and who I don't see. And I've got some bad news for me. You know who I've been seeing? Now this is not this is like a propensity. This is like 55% compared to 45%. 55% of the time, I'm really seeing the people that annoy me. Not the people that bring blessings into my life. Now, how many people, comparatively speaking, do you think should be annoying me? And how many people should be bringing blessings to me? Actually, I've learned that even those people that annoy me are bringing a blessing to me because they're getting me in touch. You know, I get in my car and I take my 20-minute drive from Imperial Beach to Our Redeemer, and before I get 5 minutes into the ride, 10 people have made me irritated. Guess who the jerk is? It's not out there. It's the guy driving my car. It's me. Who do we really see? Look for the blessings. And it's not an easy shift. This is something that my AA sponsor taught me that changed my life. It's called counting your blessings. Every morning, write down 5 things to be grateful for. The next morning, write down 5 more things. By the end of the month, you have 150 things to be grateful for. They can't be the same thing. They have to be different. They taught me to look for the blessings. It just seems so easy to be irritated and not so easy to find the blessings. I don't know why it is. Does anybody else got that problem, or is it just me? Yeah, I wouldn't admit it if I was you either. I hope I didn't shatter anybody's illusions of my perfection, but yeah. So I'm asking Jesus to heal me of that. Open my eyes to see the blessings that are around me. Because Jesus is still healing. He's still liberating us from the power of Satan. He's here today. And that liberation is available to any believer. Here's a prayer that I'd like you to consider saying with me today. It's the sinner's prayer. It's how we invite Jesus into our lives. Are you with me? Okay, I'm going to read it through, then I'm going to ask you to repeat after me. Lord, I am a sinner who needs a Savior. Lord, I am a sinner who needs a Savior. I believe you died on the cross for my sin. In gratitude, I commit my life to you. That's it. God has worked in your life. It's as simple as that. The Holy Spirit that's alive working in here is relentlessly pursuing each and every one of us. He's not happy just to leave us. He comes to us and he physically touches us in the body and blood in the Holy Communion. He removes our infirmities when we do our confession and hear the words of absolution. The Holy Spirit is available to all believers. The Holy Spirit can heal any hurt, change any disposition, and give any needed gift. When the Holy Spirit touches us, he'll change us according to his will. Now, his will might not be what your will is. I might be praying that my back will be straightened up, but God might decide to use my bent over back to bring him glory. That I might have an overcome attitude about my infirmity. There's a person once that had a missing leg and she's walking on a crutch. And this little girl, in her innocence, looks at her and says, "Are you crippled?" And she said, "No, I just need a crutch to walk." See the difference? She needed a crutch to walk, but she didn't see herself as crippled. We can have these infirmities and recognize them for what they are, but they don't need to cripple us spiritually or emotionally or through everything else in us. And that's what Jesus is trying to get through to us. He told Paul, the apostle Paul had this messenger of Satan. Can anybody relate? He had a thorn in the flesh. And 3 times he cried out to God, "Remove this." And each time God said, "No, not gonna do it. Wouldn't be prudent." You know why? Because God's grace is sufficient. And God's power is made perfect in our weakness. So when we're considering how God works in our lives and cures us of our infirmities, don't get stuck into thinking it's just going to be one way. It could be our attitudes. Does anybody need an attitude readjustment every now and then? Yeah. Me too. Anyone, right? Liz, will you reach over and smack him in the back of the head? Marilyn is all over that one. God wants us to stand up straight. God wants us that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, there's 2 spirits at work in here. There's a healing spirit, and there's a spirit of outrage, and then there's a spirit of rejoicing. Jesus wants his people to recognize that people are more valuable than rules. Amen? People are more valuable than rules. We can't all be healers the way that Jesus was. But we can all treat one another like sons and daughters of Abraham. As people of worth, who have great value in the eyes of God. When we recognize God's work in and among us, it will bring us joy. There are spirits at work in this world. What spirit is at work in you? Is it a crippling spirit of judgment, or is it a spirit of joy? Whatever choice you make will have an incredible impact, not only on you, but all those around you. And may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.